Matthew chapter 11 opens as follows. And it came to pass, when Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, he departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities. And when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Jesus answered and said unto them, Go and show John again those things which ye do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he, whosoever shall not be offended in me. Now these words are a great encouragement to every believer who finds himself where John the Baptist was. And they are a great proof and declaration of who Christ is and the power of his gospel. John the Baptist from prison sends disciples unto Christ to ask, Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? John asks this. John the Baptist, who had heralded the coming of Christ, who had been the voice crying in the wilderness. John the Baptist, who was the messenger sent before Christ's coming, of whom Christ speaks later in this chapter, saying, Among them that are born of women, that have not risen a greater than John the Baptist. And yet John, who knew Christ, who baptized Christ, who heralded his coming, who pointed at him, Behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world, who knew him, John the Baptist, in prison, sends his disciples to ask, Art thou really he that should come, or do we look for another? And what a response he has sent. Jesus answered and said unto them, Go and show John again those things which ye do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he, whosoever shall not be offended in me. Yes, John, I am he that should come. Yes, John, a prophet like none other, when cast into prison, facing death, he who had been granted great insight and great faith, even he, in such a circumstance, wondered. And there may be many a time when we as believers, even when God in power has delivered us from death, has washed us clean in the blood of Christ, has given us faith to behold him, has caused us to cry out for mercy and heard his voice and heard his assurance, even as believers, there are times when we are brought low, when we, as it were, find ourselves in prison. When the accuser comes unto us and says unto us, Do you believe? Do you know? Where is thy God? Where is he now? Where's your Saviour now? Here you are, cast down in trial, cast down in your circumstances. He's abandoned you. Are you sure he's your saviour? Are you sure he's your God? Where is he now? Look where you are. And we're brought to question. O Lord, art thou my saviour or not? Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Was I wrong all this time? We tend to see, as it were, blessing as being that which is external often. When things are well, people say, oh, the Lord has blessed you. And when trouble and trial comes, should we be afflicted with great disease? Should our reputation be brought down? Should our finances or our position be stripped away? Should we come into hard times? Should we be put into great trials? Then people will say, well, the Lord's not blessing you now, is he? Where is thy God? And no matter how strong our faith, and no matter how much we may know, and no matter how great the proof, we can be brought down to nothing to question, art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? And yet again, whoever it is that asks the question, whether it is John the Baptist in prison, whether it is the cast down believer full of doubts and fears, or wherever it is those who know him not, who say, where's the proof? Christ answers and says, show them the things which ye do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. Is he the Saviour? Yes, he is. He makes the blind to see. He makes lame to walk. He cleanses the leper. He raises the dead. He causes the deaf to hear. He causes the poor to have the gospel preached to them. He's a Saviour, mighty in deed and power. I doubt you. Do you fall into this description somewhere? Are you blind, in need of sight? Are you lame and cannot walk? Are you a leper, diseased from head to foot? Are you deaf? Are you dead? Are you poor? There's not one man, one woman on the face of this earth that does not fall into this description. The blind receive their sight. Christ came to make blind men see. Oh, how blind we all are by nature. Not necessarily with a blindness of the physical eye. Some are, some aren't. But we are blind inwardly, blind spiritually to the truth. We see things out externally, and we have an understanding externally, but we cannot see the truth. John, though he knew who Christ was, even he, in prison, questioned and said, art thou he that should come? Can you not see, John? Did you not see? Can you not see? Is it not evident? Christ can come before us. Christ could stand before us this day as he stood before John, as he stood before the people in this day and age. He came and he preached, he healed the sick, and they could not see. He can come before us and we could see him outwardly and hear his words and never comprehend, never see him for who he is. Because naturally speaking, we are blind to the truth. Blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. Naturally speaking, he is an offence to us. Because we are nothing before Almighty God. We are nothing in the presence of the Son of God. The reality of knowing him, the reality of seeing him, is that we will see ourselves for who we are and what we are, that we are nothing before a holy God. We are but dust. He has created us. He has made us out of nothing. He sustains our life. And all we have done with the life that he has given us is to rebel against him. And to seek our own glory. The fact that he is our maker and our sustainer, the fact that he is a sovereign God that doeth what he pleases, the fact that he can condemn us or justify us at his decree, the fact that he is all powerful offends us. We are in his hands. By nature, we're offended at him. So by nature, in religion, men will receive and will worship and will love a God of their own making that serves them. They will bow down to a God who gives them what they want when they ask for it, that does their bidding. They will talk of a Jesus who stands waiting to save them at their command according to their will, who rewards them according to their good deeds. We will bow down to a God who is our servant. But we are blind and offended at he who is Christ. We do not see him. And when we hear of him, we reject him. We cannot see unless he opens the eyes. This is why at the close of this chapter, having spoken of John and his witness, having spoken of the hardness of the hearts of the generation under whom Christ came, woe unto thee, Chorazin, woe unto thee, Bethsaida, for if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have rejected long ago in sackcloth and ashes. I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the day of judgment than for you. And thou, Capernaum, which are exalted under heaven, shall be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which have been done in thee had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee. Christ speaks of the generation in which he has come and unto which John was sent, and how hard their hearts were, even though he came, giving the blind their sight, causing the lame to walk, cleansing the leper, making the deaf to hear, raising up the dead and preaching the gospel unto the poor. Despite all the mighty works, this generation remained hard of heart. And in the end, they rose up with one voice, away with this man. We shall not have him to reign over us. Crucify him, crucify him. And what was true of them is true of you and I by nature. though Christ should come and stand before us and preach unto us and do his mighty works before us, we will not believe. Which is why, having declared this, Christ goes on to say, in verse 25, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. We will not know God. We will not know his Son. We will not know Christ the Saviour, except the Father reveals him unto us. Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? We will never know, except the Father comes in the gospel by his Spirit and preaches Christ unto us and makes us to see him. Makes us to see him. Gives us eyes that see. For except he opens the eyes, we will remain blind. Is that you? Is that you? You say you see, and you see nothing. You say you know, and you know nothing. You say you understand, and you understand nothing. By nature we go according to our own wisdom, our own understanding. We're so confident, we're so sure. And yet we follow lemming-like the multitudes that head for the cliffs and jump to our destruction. We're blind. As Paul writes in Ephesians 4, this I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. The blindness is within, in our hearts. The ignorance that is in us is because of that blindness. Our understanding by nature has been darkened. Our minds are but vanity, taken up with all sorts of nonsense, all sorts of comings and goings, which profit not, while shut and darkened and closed and blind to the truth. We are past feeling. We're so blind, so lost, so darkened in our understanding that we are past feeling. These things don't move us. When we hear the truth preached, it washes over us. We're unmoved. Because we're like blind men and we see nothing. No matter what is presented to our gaze, we see nothing. Except the Father come unto us in the gospel and reveal his Son unto us. But when John asked, art thou he that should come? Christ sent this encouraging word. Go show John again those things which ye do hear and see. The blind receive their sight. I am not come into this world to condemn, but to save. Art thou he that should come? Yes, he is. He came. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. He came to the blind to touch their eyes and make them see. He came preaching the gospel to the poor. And he comes this day in our midst with his gospel to touch the blind eyes and make them see. He gives the blind sight, spiritual sight, faith to believe. He gives his people faith, his faith, his faith, the faith by which he walked before his God, the faith by which he communed with God, the faith by which he walked through the darkness, the faith which sustained him in the darkness of this world, when all men rejected him, when all men despised him, when mankind rose up to crucify him, when he was nailed to the tree, nailed to the cross, when the sins of his people were laid upon him, when he was made sin and the light of the sun was taken away and darkness was upon the face of the earth for 3 hours. When he cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? When he hung in the darkness, abandoned by all men. And when his own father turned his back upon him. It's his faith that sustained him, that brought him through. When he was in the prison and there was nothing to see, he believed. He waited upon his God. He knew the light would return. As Paul writes, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. To everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. When Christ hung in the darkness, when God laid upon him the sins of all his people, when he was made sin, God judged his Son in righteousness. God manifested his righteousness. The righteousness of God came down upon his own Son in judgment and judged every last sin according to the exact pure righteousness of God in every way. And Christ, the righteousness of God, hung by faith upon the cross as the fires rained down upon him. And his love for God and his love for his people, his love for sinners, his love for the elect, for his own, was manifested. It shone in the darkness out of his faith to be received by their faith. Therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith, from the faith of Jesus Christ, to faith, to the faith of those whom he opens the eyes of, the blind who receive their sight, those whom he gives faith to see him and to know him and to see their sins washed away upon the cross. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. How do these sinners, these blind, these deaf, these dead, these lepers live? How shall they be made just? How shall they be just before a holy God? Through Christ, who took their sin and washed it away and made them to be the righteousness of God in him. The just shall live by faith, by his faith, through which he justified them, by his faith, which he gives them, by his faith, by which he makes the blind to see. as he came in his gospel and touched your eyes and said, look at me, all ye ends of the earth, and live. See, receive thy sight. See where I went for you. See what I suffered for you. Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Show John again those things which ye do see and hear. The blind receive their sight, as he come unto you, blind man, and made you see. And the lame walk. The lame walk. We're blind by nature. We're also lame. We're so fallen in our sin and our depravity, we have no strength. We cannot walk. We cannot do a thing. Not spiritually. We're full of our own strength naturally. We grow up as young people into the height of life and we think we're invincible until age comes upon us and we're robbed of that strength we once had, or until sickness comes upon us or circumstance. Soon our strength physically is gone, because sin will have its effect in every way. We're dead spiritually from the day we're born, but soon we will die physically. And soon even the mirage of strength we think we have as humans is taken away, and we enter the grave and we're gone. We have no strength. And before God spiritually, we cannot walk. We're lame. There's no power in us. And we don't know the way to walk. We don't know where to go. We don't know where to head. All our wisdom, all our understanding has taken us another way. Who seeks after God? None. We're like lost sheep, each and every one of us. We've gone another way. We've gone out of the way. There is none that seeketh after God. There is none that runneth. There is none that willeth. We're lame, without strength. Oh, that God would teach us this. Because the reason a man does not come to God is because he thinks he sees. And he thinks he can walk. And he thinks he's clean. And he thinks he hears. And he thinks he lives. And he thinks he's rich. When the reality is, he is none of these things. You think you walk, and yet you're lame. We are just like Mephibosheth, Jonathan's son. Lame in both legs. Without strength, without ability. We cannot live righteously before a holy God. Men come unto religion. The Pharisees did. These people to whom Christ came preaching this day, they come unto religion and they think they can attain unto heaven by their own strength, by their own deeds, by their own works, their own righteousness. When they've got none, it's in tatters. All they've got is their own pride and arrogance. They're lame. We're worse than Mephibosheth. Jonathan, Saul's son, had a son that was lame of his feet. He was 5 years old when the tidings came of Saul and Jonathan out of Jezreel. And his nurse took him up and fled. And it came to pass as she made haste to flee that he fell and became lame. And his name was Mephibosheth. Do you know your lameness? Do you know your weakness? Are you a Mephibosheth? Perhaps you know you are. Perhaps you feel desperate at times. Perhaps you feel like you cannot do anything. You're like those in Jesus' day, like the impotent man at the pool. You can't move. You can't get yourself in the pool to cleanse yourself, to heal yourself. You can't do anything. Perhaps you feel that Christ will never come your way. He's abandoned you. You're not one of His. You're lost. Well, the encouragement is that King David, mighty King David, heard of Mephibosheth and sent word to show great mercy to him. He brought him to his table. He brought him into his house. He caused this lame man that could do nothing for himself to eat of the king's table, to be looked after the rest of his days. He showed great love and mercy to this lame man. He saved him. He saved him. The king sought him out and brought him to his house to save him. And Christ makes known unto John, the blind receive their sight and the lame walk. I came to visit the lame, to touch them, to heal them, to give them strength, to cause them to walk, to cause them to follow me, to lead them by the right way, to be their shepherd. He came unto the lost sheep of Israel, lame sheep, weak sheep, and to gather them into his fold and to lead them forth by the right way. He's their shepherd, he's their guide. He gives them strength to walk and he leads them in the right way. Oh, the mercy of God, that Christ, the King of Kings, of whom King David was but a figure, that Christ should seek out the Mephibosheths in his kingdom. Bring them to me. Bring them to my table. Give them everything. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed. Lepers! Oh, what a disease leprosy is. And oh, what a horrific picture we see of it in the scriptures. Where leprosy was, death was. Lepers were cast out of the towns and the cities. Lepers lived in caves. Lepers were unclean. Such a contagious disease, such an easily spread disease, such a terrible disease that eats away at the body and disfigures and dismembers. Such an awful disease that no one wanted to go near a leper. No one would touch a leper. No one would go within meters of a leper. And yet Christ came to save, to cleanse lepers. He did what none other would dare to do. He went to them. He touched them. He loved them. He showed them mercy. And he healed them from head to toe. What a picture of our sin leprosy is. We are lepers by nature. Unclean. Inside and out. Unclean from head to toe, full of sin, wretched, corrupt, diseased, wasting away. Wasting away. This leprosy of sin affects our very being. It affects us physically. All the weakness and frailty we have is a result of our sin. But it affects us spiritually. We cannot know God. We cannot see God. We cannot do one thing aright. Everything we do from a sinful motive. It stains our every action. It stains our every motive. How evil we are. How desperately wicked our hearts are. We're lepers. Like Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria. a great man and honourable. Because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was a mighty man in valour, we read. But he was a leper. He was a leper. And he was dying. And he was in desperate need to be cleansed. And the Lord showed mercy to him and cleansed him. What worth was his position in this world as captain of the host of the king of Syria? What worth was his great deeds? He's a mighty man in valour. What good did any of these things do him when he was a leper? What doth it profit a man if he gains the whole world but loses his own soul? You may hear the gospel and pass it by. You may live your life and seek out your own goals and ambitions. You may seek a life of pleasure and riches. You may do many great things in this world. You may rise up through the ranks and get to a great position in society. You may be thought well of. But what good does it do you if you're a leper, about to waste away to nothing? And frankly, that's what we all are. No matter who we are, where we are, what position we attain to in life, we are a leper. Diseased from head to toe, full of sin, corrupt, heading to the grave, lost. And yet Christ saved Naaman the leper. And Christ healed lepers. He came unto them. He came unto them in the gospel. He walked amongst them. He came unto those that nobody else would have anything to do with. They'd cast them out. And they may cast you out, sinner. You may have done things and said things that have offended people, that have ruined your reputation. Men and women may despise you and say, do you know what they've done? Do you know what they said? You may feel cast out by all. But there's one, there's a Saviour, Jesus Christ, of whom John the Baptist spake, who came to cleanse sinners, to make them clean head to toe, to make them righteous, to take away their sin, to take away the corruption, to take away that which would cause them to die, to clean them head to toe, to make them the righteousness of God in him. He went to the cross in the leper's stead. He took the leper's disease upon him. He took all their leprosy of all his people upon himself. He was made sin in their stead, that he might wash them clean in his blood and make them perfect without spot or blemish. Has he come unto you, a leper, and touched you and cleansed you? The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The deaf hear. How this finds us all out. Here we sit, hearing with the outward ear the gospel of Christ, hearing of Christ and his mighty works, hearing the witness sent unto John the Baptist of whom Christ is, that yes indeed he is the one that should come. You look for none other. He is the Saviour of sinners. Here we hear. But do we hear? We may have heard the gospel 1,000 times, but did we ever hear? Has God the Father, by his Spirit, spoken unto us, concerning his son. This is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. Oh, what a witness the Father gave to his son when he was baptized of John. John was there. And yet John in prison doubts. Have you heard the witness? Have you heard the Lord speak from heaven on high, "This is my beloved son"? Has he caused you to hear? By nature we're deaf. We cannot hear. We hear the words but we hear nothing. We hear the gospel but we hear nothing. Spiritually we're dead, blind, deaf. Nothing enters in. Yet Christ comes unto the deaf and makes them hear. He is their ears. He causes them to hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. He touches the dead ears, the deaf ears, and causes the sound of his gospel by his Spirit to enter in. As Isaiah writes, "Hear ye deaf, and look ye blind, that ye may see." Hear ye deaf, and look ye blind, that ye may see. Oh, that God should come unto us, where we are even today. And if that's us, that he should say unto our souls, "Hear ye deaf, and look ye blind, that ye may see." The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up. The dead are raised up. Why are we blind to these things? Because we're dead. Dead in trespasses and sins. Why are we lame without strength? Because we're dead. Why are we lepers? Because we're dead in our sins, and those sins have slain us. Why can we not hear? Because we're dead. Dead by nature. Dead spiritually. Dead in trespasses and sins. Dead from head to toe. Dead totally. We are totally depraved, totally without life. What we call life is just for a moment of physical sustaining upon this world. But when we enter eternity, if we know not Christ, we will enter into darkness and enter into judgment. We're condemned already for our rebellion. We're dead. And we need to live. Dead men can't make decisions. Dead men cannot respond to a call to come to the front. Dead men do not receive Jesus. Dead men do not accept Jesus into their hearts. Dead men cannot live righteous works. Dead men cannot keep the law of God. They're dead. And dead men require a Saviour to come unto them and call unto them, "Live." Can these bones live, Ezekiel? Can these dead, dry bones live? Thou knowest, Lord. Cry unto them, "Live," and they will live. Lazarus was dead. Dead in the grave 4 days. Rotting in his death in the tomb. But when Christ came unto him, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, "Loose him. And let him go." Yes, Christ makes the dead to live. He gives them life. He speaks and they live. He is their life. Everlasting, eternal life. Is he your life? Has he come unto your graveside and said, live? Or are you yet dry bones in a valley of death, unable to move? Does the gospel just wash over you? Meaningless. Irrelevant. Of no interest. You have no concern because you're dead. Or has the Spirit of God begun to blow and begun to stir and begun to awaken? Has he sounded an alarm? Has he caused you to cry out, art thou he that should come? Can you save me? Can you make me to see? Can you cause me to walk? Can you cleanse me of my leprosy, my sin? Can you cause me to hear? Can you give me life? O Lord, have mercy upon me, the sinner. And the poor have the gospel preached to them. We're poor. We may have all that this world can give us. We may be like Naaman. We may be a captain of the host, a mighty man of valor. We may have been raised up to a great height. But he was a leper. He came into this world with nothing. He'd go out of this world with nothing. Truly, he had nothing. He was poor. And no matter what we may have, no matter what ability we may have, no matter what knowledge and wisdom we may have, no matter what position or birthright we may have, truly we are poor. Spiritually we are dead, blind, deaf, unclean. We have nothing in ourselves, nothing of any worth, none of our righteousnesses are of any worth before a holy God. We're dead in our sins. We're poor. And yet it's the poor unto whom Christ comes. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye too to the waters and drink. He that is without money, come ye buy and eat. Are you poor? For it's the poor that Christ comes unto. How poor were the blind in his day? They could not see. They sat by the wayside and begged. How poor were the lame? They could not walk. They could not work. How poor were the lepers living in the caves? How poor were the deaf? How poor were the dead? The poor have the gospel preached to them. When you're rich in your own eyes, you've got no time for it. You've got no need for it. When you're rich in your own righteousness, you think you live. You think you know, like the Pharisee. You think you're upright. You think that you're walking aright. Oh, you're full of your own riches, like the rich young ruler that came unto Christ. Sell all that ye have. And he went away sorrowful. Give it all up. Count it all as dung, like Paul did. Count it all as loss in your knowing Christ. See yourself for what you are. See your good deeds for the filthy rags that they are before a holy God. See them as wickedness and as pride. See your poverty. When God makes you to see your poverty, then you will hear his gospel. Then you shall no longer be offended in Christ. Then you shall be blessed. has God shown you your poverty? All we've got by nature is our sin. That's all we have. And yet Christ comes unto poor, needy sinners who've got nothing but sins to offer, nothing but their blindness, their deafness, their leprosy. When the poor and needy seek water and there is none, and their tongue faileth for thirst, I the Lord will hear them. I the God of Israel will not forsake them. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. The poor have the gospel preached to them. Are you poor? Are you blind? Are you lame? Are you deaf? Are you dead? Thou sayest, I am rich and increase with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, the Lord says in Revelation. Are you rich? Increase with goods and in need of nothing? Or are you wretched, miserable, poor, blind and naked, in need of a Saviour to pass your way? Christ died for sinners like you and I. The poor, the miserable, the blind and the naked. He came to where we are, and he comes to where we are. He seeks us out. Wherever you are and whatever you've done, and however proud you may be in your position, put it all to one side and be honest before God that you're nothing and you need saving. For he, and he alone, makes the blind to see, the lame to walk. He cleanses lepers, he makes the deaf hear, he makes the dead live, and in the gospel he makes the poor rich. How does he? By being plunged into the darkness for those who are blind. By walking the heavy steps to Jerusalem, outside of Jerusalem, to the cross upon which his feet were nailed, to give strength to the lame. By taking the leper's very corruption and sin upon himself, being made sin from head to toe, bearing the sinner's sins, that he might cleanse them, cleanse the leper, wash him clean and make him righteous inside and out. Did he bear your sins, your corruption, your leprosy? How does he save? By preaching his gospel from the cross, by declaring Christ and him crucified, by showing forth unto the world, this is who I am and this is where I went, that you should live. By dying, that dead men should live. By hanging in their place, suffering the wrath of God that they deserve. By becoming poor in order that he might give his all to the poor, that in him they might be rich. How does he save? By dying in the sinner's stead. Oh, has God shown you, when you cry out, is he the Saviour? Is Christ real? Is he the one that should come, or am I looking for another? Oh, that he should say unto you, the blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them, because I hung upon the cross in their place. Look unto me. Look unto me, ye poor, and be rich. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. Yes, how does he save? He went into the darkness that the blind should see. He walked to the cross that the lame should be made whole. He was made sin that the leper should be cleansed. He died that the dead should live. God give us grace to come unto him and live. Christ says at the end of this chapter, come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your soul, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Come unto me and live, ye dead sinners. Come unto me and see, ye blind. Come unto me and walk, ye lame. Come unto me and be cleansed, ye leper. Come unto me and hear, ye deaf. Come unto me and be rich, ye poor. Come unto me and live, you who are dead. O God, give us grace to come unto Christ, the Saviour of sinners. He who should come. Amen.